wake up, rethink the status quo. When you get your money right, then you're the one who runs your life. Come build a wealthy spirit with Sammy and Michelle.
Here was my biggest fear when it came to being the type of person that was good with my money. I was scared of being cheap.
The family calls me cheap. I'm not sure why.
You did have that obsession with that TV show, Extreme Cheapskates.
That was gross.
But like in a way that you were almost taking notes.
That was way too far.
Here's the thing. There is a difference between being cheap and being frugal. And Sammy and I want to talk about that today because maybe you're trying to be more aware of how you're spending your money, but you might have a mindset that people who save money or think about how they're spending their money are cheap. I've been there. And to be honest, there have been times when I was cheap. Like when I would go to the different convenience stores to buy deodorant to see which one had my Dove cucumber $1 less. That's when I really had my come to Jesus moment with cheapness. My come to cheapness moment.
And the thing is, you don't have to be cheap. You can be a frugal like me. As a frugal or a frugal person, you save money, but you are not cheap. And we're going to get into why those two are different today on the podcast.
Exactly. We're pro-frugal, anti-cheap.
Let's get into it.
But first, I'm excited to talk about our partner, Riverside. Because if you're trying to launch a podcast or a creative endeavor, maybe a video, an interview series for your Substack, Riverside is such a great tool, and guess what? You can still be frugal, not cheap, when using it. What Riverside does is it allows Sammy and I to set up meetings with each other, set up meetings with podcast guests anywhere in the world, and they locally record every audio so that we don't have any issues with the audio quality in case there's a internet outage. We love Riverside, and there's so many great tools now with Riverside outside of just recording audio and video. You can use AI transcription to just get the transcript and also to edit it so you can see the words instead of having to listen to every little but, and you can just delete them. So I highly recommend if you're one of those people who want to start the new year with a podcast, you're trying to go into different creative spaces with video, you want to do interviews, Riverside is definitely worth checking out, and you can find more information with the link in our show notes. Cheap versus frugal.
The drama ensues. You know, one of my favorite people, Ramit Sethi, one of the OG finance people that I ever found, he was on ABC News talking about the difference between cheap versus frugal.
Love Ramit, and I Can Teach You to Be Rich, and I love this interview as well, Sammy.
One of the biggest differences that he points out is that cheap people care about the cost of items or the sticker price versus frugal people, they care about the values.
So what does that really mean, Sammy? Because technically, aren't we always looking at the cost? Aren't we always looking at the dollar amount? Shouldn't that be a factor when we are trying to decide how much we should spend on something?
The thing about cheap people is they want every single item to be the lowest cost, without thinking about what they value and without thinking about how that's going to affect other people. Michelle and I made a list of the different characteristics between cheap people and frugal people.
Yes, and I think we should start with cheap because that's the big fear. Mm-hmm. I don't think I'm alone when it comes to wanting to like save money. There's almost this negative connotation like, oh, you want to save money? You're cheap. You don't want to do anything fun. You're going to be a bore to be around.
We don't want to invite you to a party because you're going to comment on stuff.
So what are the characteristics then of being cheap and how can you avoid being cheap while still being frugal?
I think a big thing is cheap people put other people out.
Yes. I've definitely been in this situation before. I go to dinner with a group of friends and someone starts complaining about the cost of dinner. It's clear they didn't think about it ahead of time. They maybe order a ton of food and drinks and apps, whatever it might be. And then in the end, they don't want a tip. They're like, oh, gosh, like they don't even deserve the tip. And in those moments, it's like, well, you shouldn't have ordered all this food or shouldn't have put the money towards these things that made you happy if you aren't also willing to follow the payment customs in the U.S., which is to tip appropriately to the people who were waiting on you during this time.
It's true, Michelle. You pointed out another feature of cheap people, which is they oftentimes have poor planning. They might think they're so great for getting the cheapest price on stuff, but a lot of times they're not thinking ahead.
This was a big shift for myself, CME, especially when it came to big trips. Something that sticks out to me is bachelorette parties. Bachelorette parties, love them. But every time I say yes to them, I know that I'm probably going to be spending about $1,500 on airfare, splitting an Airbnb, those shirts that say things like bride tribe or party with the bride or I'm single. Those ones are not my favorite. But but a lot of times you're spending a lot of money on a bachelorette party. And once I started to actually calculate, okay, this is typically how much I'm going to spend, something I can usually predict because the good thing about a bachelorette party is there's usually a pretty strict itinerary. I can look up how much dinner is going to be. We can usually get an estimate on how much we're going to have to split for like a table or a club area. And I'm like, okay, I know how much money I'm going to spend. Thus, I'm going to factor that in when I say yes. And then when I'm there, I put it out of my mind. I don't think twice if I have to pay for things. I don't think twice if dinner seems to be a little bit expensive because I know I've already factored in those costs when I said yes to the event. And then if you want to buy souvenirs or extra things, that's up to you and your own budget.
I love that, Michelle. Your story reminds me of another feature of cheap people is oftentimes cheap people are complaining about the price. Like what you said about the bachelorette, they can either plan ahead of time and decide that maybe that's too much and not go, or they can plan ahead of time and decide that they are willing to spend that money and go. But to go and complain, it actually ruins the experience for other people. And that's something cheap people neglect is sometimes we spend on things that we care about because we want to have a good time and show other people that we like, that we care for them and want to spend time with them. If you're complaining about the price the whole time, it ruins the experience.
Yeah, then it's not fun to have you there. You can complain about the price up front if you want. I've had friends that send me invites to things and I'm like, heck no, I'm not paying $2,000 to sleep in a camp tent outside. Hello, that's not something I'm going to enjoy. And I just choose not to do it. And I'll be direct and I'll say, hey, like, I don't think this is in my budget this year. And honestly, nobody ever minds. But I think that if you do go and then you feel resentful, it's not just because you're being cheap. It also probably means you're spending money in a way that isn't really respectful to your interest or your boundaries.
You know, Michelle, I think some cultures may have a tendency to be known as cheap.
Oh my gosh.
I'm talking about Indian people. Okay, I'm talking about our people. And I actually think that it's actually, sometimes it's part of the culture to be cheap or complain of the cost, even if that's not something that you actually care about. Like I commonly hear myself and my other Indian friends talk about how they'll take their parents to a really nice restaurant.
Oh, yeah.
The parents have a great time, but they feel like they have to complain about the price. Like it would be irresponsible not to complain about the price, even though they're enjoying themselves. And even though later they tell their friends that they had such a wonderful time, they almost feel like to not complain about the price is to be like a mark or dumb. Like you need to complain about the price because this price is just unacceptable.
It's true. There's nothing like taking your Indian parents to a restaurant, hearing them comment on all the little details, and you're like, man, they like didn't even enjoy this. Next, 2 months later, you're hearing your auntie, oh yeah, they were saying how good of a time they had. We have to all go next time. I'm like, what? They had fun? But I agree. I mean, I think it's just also a difference of what they grew up with or sometimes what they value. For example, our parents would love to hang out with us at McDonald's. For them, what I realized is that going to like the fanciest Michelin star restaurant isn't necessarily an experience they value. They just want to spend time with us and it doesn't really matter where it is.
Our dad is literally the Applebee's song.
Which one?
You know, the one song that's like,
I want my baby, baby back.
No, the song that's like, she's fancy like Applebee's. Fancy like Applebee's.
Oh.
That song is our family.
The Walker Hayes song, yeah?
Yes. To go fancier than Applebee's is just unnecessary. They just want to spend time with us. But they do feel kind of special going to a nice restaurant, but they will complain about the price.
100%. And they're not complaining because they're paying for it. I actually think they're complaining because we're paying for it and they feel bad. It's just like a totally different mindset than what
it's
they grew
like
up with.
It's almost like a reverse gratitude exercise for them. To complain about the price is like showing that they know you spend a lot of money and thank you for doing it. Just gotta reframe.
If they don't complain about the price, you took there somewhere too cheap.
This is a very reasonable restaurant. Fail. Now, characteristics of the frugal. The frugals like myself. Biggest one. Frugal people spend in alignment with their values.
Yes.
I think about me. Right now, I'm prioritizing exercise. And I'm spending a lot of money on it. I have ClassPass. And I'm always buying extra credits because I ran out. I have a personal trainer. I make sure I have appropriate amount of workout clothes. And I don't mind spending for nicer workout clothes. I got my Fitbit with my Fitbit subscription. I have my chest strap heart monitor.
Low-key, this is getting embarrassing. But I'm happy. It makes you happy.
I bought towels for my car. Yes, the towels were from Walmart, so they weren't expensive. But you might think you don't need towels in your car. But I like having them so I don't sweat on my seats. And I even got a special water bottle just for my exercise classes that I can just squeeze and the water comes out.
I'm so happy you got yourself that water bottle after you lost mine.
I'm sorry.
She's not.
Is this a cheap behavior complaining about?
About you losing my free water bottle? Very possible. But I like what you're saying, Sammy. Values aligned.
Frugal people are organized and they plan ahead. For example, when we moved here, Michelle and I over time have learned that we like a nice couch and we like a nice dining table. And everything else does not have to be that nice. So we planned to make sure that we could have a nice couch. We actually were like, hey, we want to make sure we can bring our couch. So we paid to have that shipped. And we bought a decent table. Those things were worth spending on. But we're not like, oh, we're going to spend on every single piece of furniture. And we're also not like, oh, we're going to be cheap with every single piece of furniture. We decided the ones we valued. And then for everything else, we're willing to kind of get the lowest budget item.
That example is so great, Sammy, because there's actually two parts. One, the values. We really like having a nice couch. I don't know why. I guess because we sit on it all day. Oh, and also that one time we were living in our first apartment and our roommates got rid of our couch and then replaced it with one that was free but worse.
Yes.
Cheap.
Very cheap.
Cheap behavior.
Like, I literally went from enjoying sitting on the couch and even sleeping on the couch sometimes to never putting myself on the couch.
And also, our whole planning when we moved was around whether or not we could take our couch. We ended up getting a U-Box, basically a pod from the brand U-Haul. We measured our couch 1,000 times because it was going to perfectly fit into the U-Box. And our logic was if we can fit the couch in and we can bring the couch, then it would be worth it because if nothing else fit, at the least, we'd save money on the couch and we'd get the couch that we wanted. Because our favorite couch store, Living Spaces, we gotta make them a sponsor because we love Living Spaces.
Yes. We are willing to go to Living Spaces, which is probably a mid-budget place. And we love it because they will ship it to your place, build it, and then remove all the wrapping from your home.
Luxury items.
It doesn't get better than that. It
doesn't get better than that. Unfortunately, they don't have them on the East Coast. So we did ship our couch. It fit. And then we were able to take every little thing on top of that. You know, we took things that we probably didn't need to bring if we didn't have space. For example, our like outdoor chairs. But we were able to fit that all in the box and we were able to bring it because we valued our furniture. And we valued specifically our couch. We could have made a different decision if we had to bring the dining table we had in Blythe, which was literally falling apart underneath us because we were cheap when we bought that table.
Yeah, we both had incidents where we sat on the chair and the chair imploded. So yeah, that's sometimes you're cheap and then you learn that you don't need to be that cheap.
In our defense, there was a lumber shortage.
Frugal people also think about the long term. I think about myself on this one. People might see me being cheap. They might see my shoes with holes. I'm not sure. They might see me not going out to eat all the time. But the thing is, I'm not just doing those things just to save money for the sake of saving money. I'm doing those things so that I can do what I'm doing now, which is taking a sabbatical from work. I have so thoroughly enjoyed my time off of work. Like, I'm getting to do everything I love. And it's all because I was willing to make some sacrifices about things I really didn't care about so that I can save for today, where I'm getting to enjoy the fruits of my frugality.
Exactly, Sammy. I think that's such a good point, because here's the thing, is if you're being frugal and you're actually taking the time to make a list of things that you value. In my case, I value having a nice place. I value having good workout clothes. I value going to cycling and yoga at the studios that I really like. I don't mind spending money to do those things. I don't really value the type of car that I have. I love my car. It gets me from point A to point B. It doesn't need anything fancy. I don't even know how they get fancier because I just don't know anything about cars. And so that's two major decisions, right? Car and apartment. I decided to spend more on the apartment, but less on the car. And that aligns with my values. And over time, that's going to also allow me to save my money in certain places and build wealth over time. But I'm not putting anybody out. I'm not making a split second decision. I'm thinking about these things ahead of time.
Michelle, I got a question.
Tell me.
I'm trying to decide. Sometimes I have this sweater. It had holes in it. It was very comfortable.
Oh, God.
But then I have these socks that have holes in them, too. And I feel like maybe the socks are frugal, but the shirt is cheap. Because the shirt, when I wear that with the holes, even though it's comfortable for me, I really have to make sure I wear a tank top or something underneath because it could get inappropriate for other people. And that kind of puts people out. But the socks, nobody sees, so it doesn't bother them.
I'm not going to even entertain this. I don't think that's cheap or frugal. I think you're tacky. And to be honest, first off, if you have holes in your clothing, I think that is totally a separate thing. Like, maybe you cannot afford new clothes. That's okay. Maybe that's something that's not a priority for you. I don't know. In your case, your sweater is obscene and you're trying to be pretentious about how many holes you have. And I refuse to promote this lifestyle.
The thing you realize is, like, you wear holy clothes when you don't have a lot of money and you don't want to purchase new clothes. But then there's another class. It's actually above upper class, but below the ultra wealthy, where you start wearing holy things again. It's like the exactly one millionaires.
The These one millionaire not, next door. Yeah,
they don't have Decamillion. They made most of their money in tax advantaged accounts. And they don't like to spend on new clothes all the time. So yes, they got some holes.
You know what? I take it back. I am going to comment on this. It's cheap.
Because I'm cheap. Yeah, because I'm cheaping on the down low.
I think that if you are a one millionaire, do not wear a sweater with a bunch of holes in it that's so obscene and cut out in the right places that you can't even wear it without having something underneath because it's just inappropriate.
It has gotten so bad that now I only wear it as a pajama shirt.
It's disgusting.
Michelle and my mom bought me a duplicate for Christmas, so thank you.
She doesn't like it as much.
I don't know what they changed about the fabric, but it just feels different.
That's the real thing, right? You love that sweater.
It's so soft.
Takeaways.
Takeaways for this episode. Cheap versus frugal. Cheap. Poor planning. Complaining. Putting other people out. Wanting the lowest price regardless of quality, regardless of value. If you catch yourself getting up in arms about a dollar difference on a deodorant, you might be cheap.
Frugal. Frugal people think about the long term. Their spending is values aligned. They're organized and they don't let their desire to save money put other people out.
Yes, and I do want to emphasize, when you are being conscientious about how you're spending money, there may be times where you're not able to do things with people because you don't value spending money on it, or you don't value spending time with that person, maybe. And the thing is, that's okay too, and that can still be frugal. Saying no to something is not putting people out. Saying yes to something, going, complaining, cheaping out on the details, and then making other people have to pay more, that's being cheap.
Our biggest takeaway for this episode is Don't avoid being frugal because you don't want to look cheap. Don't throw out the frugal water with the cheap bath, baby.
Community time.
Before we say goodbye, it's our community time.
A big thank you to our cousin, Joji. Joji is host of the Deconstructed Woman podcast. She recommended this topic, frugal versus cheap, for this episode. We had so much fun with it, and it's honestly one of our most favorite things to talk about.
Thank you, Joji Teji.
Also, shout out to our listener, Ron. Ron recently got a job, and he decided, based off of our previous episode, he would also try asking for a sign-on bonus and relocation. And guess what? They gave it to him. Thousands of dollars, thanks to Build a Wealthy Spirit. Great job, Ron. It's those things that you can do at the negotiation for your salary that can make such a huge difference in the long term.
Exactly. Instead of being cheap on something like dinner with your friends, see if you can negotiate a higher salary. And feel free to listen to our episode on negotiating a higher salary if that's something that you want a little bit of help with. Finally, shout out to our friend Luca. First off, happy birthday, Luca.
Happy birthday.
At his birthday party, he had just listened to our episode on having a party with a purpose based off of Priya Parker's The Art of Gathering. He had a purpose. He made a great speech at his birthday. And he gave a shout out to Build a Wealthy Spirit, not only in his speech, but in the little gifts he gave away. So, Luca, big fans. We love you. Thanks so much. For all of you who are listening to this, are you frugal? Are you cheap? I think Sammy and I have both been on both sides of that. It's something you can grow into. You can practice. Okay, that was a little cheap. This is more frugal. What are you doing that you think is frugal and not cheap? Leave us a comment, buildawealthyspirit.com.
And most importantly, be sure to join us next time as we put down the rule book and we rethink the status quo.